Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munders.
Monday morning couldn't guarantee. That Monday evening you would still be here with me.
What would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes, you can finally cry all of the time. Monday, Monday.
So after everything from the weekend, Mr. Greg Gunderson, after all the drama of the NFL games yesterday and the whole political scene and all that stuff, I have this to say. I don't think anybody has ever taken a first sip of coffee or beer and said, that's really delicious.
You know,
have they?
Well,
black,
I mean,
black coffee. Has anybody ever taken a first sip of black coffee and said, wonderful.
No, that's not what black coffee drinkers are doing, Joel. Black coffee drinkers take that first sip and they go, yeah.
Same thing with beer. I've always said that no one has ever taken that first sip of beer and said, that's really delicious. It's like an acquired taste.
And don't get me wrong. Black coffee drinkers then proceed to evolve through thousands of years of evolution with the coffee, like,
right,
fueling that process, and then they make the world go round. Like,
right.
I know who I'm talking about. Thank you for being you, but yeah, I can't do it. I found
with coffee, I had to sweeten up coffee, and now that as I get older, the sweetening is being cut back, and now I'm finding a little bit of joy in the flavor of the coffee again now.
Yes.
Or I want more of the flavor of the coffee than I do the artificial sweetener that's in there.
I didn't really find a love for coffee until I found ways to make espresso easily at home without an espresso machine. That instant espresso powder that I probably use more of than anyone else in the country. It's magical, and it creates the relationship between that complex coffee flavor and the sweetness that I add. You get both. Like, I feel like when you add a bunch of sugar to drip coffee, you get sweet drip coffee and you lose a lot of the original complexity.
Yeah.
But if you start with espresso, there's a reason snooty coffee people are snooty coffee people. There's a reason I'm becoming one. That is not what we're talking about today, I hope.
It seems like everybody's cup of coffee that you make, even if you've been doing it for years, some just have they're just a little different or better than others, especially with the Keurig machines now.
Yeah.
Some days you get ones that, man, that's like restaurant quality. The next time you do it, you're just like, should I just throw this out and try again, or what should I do?
The original, the real magic is in variety, because things are so accessible. That's how I would want to look at it. And I've only truly had one flavor that was like, nope, that was a bad idea, and it's lemon. I tried to get lemon and it just...
I don't think that works for me either.
No, the more I say it, the worse it sounds, and it's worse than it sounds, so don't try.
Joel and Gray, this is The Gray Area. We do it Monday mornings from 8 to 9. We talk about whatever we want to talk about, so don't try to tell us what to talk about, but we will talk about the Packers, because that was just a horrible way to end that game yesterday. From watching, I said earlier, you probably were busy busy recording in the other studio. Yeah, yesterday was my brain dead hunker down football day. I had the Packer and Viking game on two different TVs, then I watched a 3 o'clock game, and then I watched my WNBA Link Swim, and then I watched a Sunday night game. It was just about me hanging out, just drinking coffee, watching football, and I had the Packer game on, and I will say this. Just don't panic, Packer fans, all right?
No.
Your defense is still okay.
No. Nope.
You knew the offense was going to have some issues here and there. You probably should have won that game like 27-10 or 27-13, yes. But that stuff happens. Settle down. The defense is still really good. You're fine. You're fine.
I don't like to play what ifs at all. But like, we lost our feature right tackle, who had the matchup, one of the matchups of the season was yesterday. It was Myles Garrett against whoever stood in front of him. And Garrett, in the first offensive series for Green Bay, that name changed. Zach Tom probably could have handled it better. We can't say for sure. One thing we can probably say for sure is that he would have gotten fewer penalties, and those ate us alive. Like, I left it in the other studio. I put together a couple keys to victory. I actually started taking paper notes. I'm going full football nerd this year, Joel, because I'm getting encouragement from outside sources that I may be able to talk about soon. But I wrote down a few things, and one of the top ones was Jordan Love has to have time to throw. And that pocket was a wet paper bag all day after Tom went down. It might not have been much better, but I mean, every stunt was working. Guys were coming unblocked. When Tom went down, everybody else started to panic. And again, I don't know that it would have gone much better with him there. I kind of get the sense that they would have had our number even if Zach Tom was there. But it wouldn't have been such a slog. I think we could have separated. We could have grabbed another touchdown, and what happened might not have mattered as much. But man, that interception, that boy, does Jordan throw an ugly interception when it happens.
I watched that three or four times this morning when they replayed it on the ESPN Sports Center in our studio here, and I just couldn't figure out why he threw. I mean, I see where the defensive back, he thought the defensive back was going to go back with the receiver and it was going to be open.
Yeah.
But it was so clear that before, just as began to cock his arm, you could see it wasn't there. It wasn't there. I don't understand why in that situation, when your defense is dominating the other team's offense, just give them the ball back. They're probably not going to come down and score a touchdown.
Yeah, I've never played a snap of quarterback, so I can't speak as to why he pulled the trigger in the gap that he did. Like, it was like they did a pretty good job. I was very happy with the announcers. They said Love clearly anticipated that defender to trail the receiver, right? That receiver being Tucker Kraft. Now, what I don't know is why Love went with the riskier play in the first place, because he's been playing super safe. We chatted about it last week. His misses to Matthew Golden especially were all consistently misses to the safe side where there was no defender. And there was an opportunity to make a similar throw on that play. If he'd have thrown it to Kraft's upfield shoulder, his front shoulder, he could have done that and either gotten a risky completion or an incompletion. It was a safe. There was, I got to watch the film on that particular play, because I believe I'd have to verify that there was a safer play available. So he went risky, and it's, man, he did that a couple times last season too, especially against the Lions, where throwing it away became a pick six. I believe it was Kirby Joseph. One of the safeties absolutely flipped the game, and that's exactly what happened yesterday. Without that play, without that one huge mistake, there's a 7-point differential on the Browns' final score, and we end up winning by six or whatever the case may be, seven.
Yeah.
So
my biggest concern, Jordan Love. How many years he's been playing now? Four.
His third year as a starter.
Third year as a starter. It's just, I don't know, the awareness at the end of the game that your team is dominating the other team. The Browns couldn't move the ball. They just couldn't move the ball. And I know he wanted to have that ball in his hand and dagger him. You know, go down, get the field goal, get the touchdown, dagger, over. But you just have to have a better grasp of the game and know that, you know what, if you punt the ball and the Browns start at their own 30, what are the odds that they're going to go 70 yards and score a touchdown? It's not just so minimal. You've been destroying them and destroying and getting into the backfield. Just that awareness at the end of the game is a concern for me for Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, it was the game plan had swapped. You know, the defense was playing a little bit differently with some gentle lead protection, and the Browns were eating up the underneath zones. But that was the game plan. It was Halfley was letting them get completions short so that they didn't get completions long and blow the game wide open fast. But man, the other thing when that touchdown was scored, when the Browns scored that touchdown, there was plenty of time. There was plenty of time. That interception really was the play. And there will be a lot of talk about Jordan Morgan's penalties. And there'll be a lot of talk about the same guy penalized so often was the same guy who blocked the field goal blocker. Just so happened to be the same offensive lineman. Now, I don't know if that matters as much as it's going to be made out to, but he's going to get absolutely eaten alive in practice. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, and as bad as it ended yesterday, if you just chip that guy off the left end just a little bit, that McManus field goal, it's 99% it's going to go through. I mean, it's going to go through, and you win the game. And it was just kind of a stacking of two or three or four things at the end of the game that just went against the Packers. But like I said, I'm not going to change the rankings of the NFC. I'm still going to lead the Eagles at one, obviously, although they had to come back rather scurriedly at the end of their game yesterday. I'm still going to put the Packers there because I think that defense is just so good. That defensive line with Micah Parsons, I think, is just still so good. I'm not going to move them out of that two spot.
Agreed. I mean, that's Homer for me too, but I've also got to take a look because there are teams that probably earned a bit of a bump that I may or may not have taken an accidental nap yesterday afternoon after the game and just kind of helped. It helps repress the memories. You know, it's a good coping mechanism. I also heard that there was like a Vikings game yesterday. I'm not sure that that's actually true.
Well, the Vikings won, but it was one of those games where the Vikings had their defensive players back. They had Van Ginkle back, and they had Harrison Smith back, and they had their offensive lineman, Christian Darrisaw, back, which was huge. So they're healthy.
Cashman is still out, though, isn't he?
And Cashman is still out. So the Vikings were about as healthy as they're going to be, which when the Vikings are healthy, I think they're last year's team. I think they're really good, but they're not deep at all. I mean, if you pull Darrisaw out of that offensive line for the Vikings and insert the backup, it goes from really, really good to horrible really fast.
Hey, sounds like us.
Yeah, and I know that's probably the case for a lot of teams, but the Vikings just, I mean, they had it all go. They had the turnover. They had five turnovers yesterday, so you're going to win 48-10 when you get five turnovers.
Yeah. Oh, God, and that's what, I'm already back to the Packers. That was the first giveaway this season for Love. He hasn't thrown a pick yet. He hasn't lost a fumble. It's that was just an ugly day. And sacks on sacks. I think it all comes down to Zach Tom going down, because you saw it immediately. The first play after Tom went down was a sack after the penalties resolved, and then the next one, Love was scared. You could tell immediately he was afraid of the rush. I mean, that's Myles Garrett. That's everybody's uncle right there. Like, God, that guy is huge, and he's so fast. The only guy I might like better than Micah Parsons.
Good to see Golden got going a little bit yesterday with a few catches and a few carries there, a couple of end-arounds at the end of the game. They tried to get him involved.
Yeah, they force-fed him a little bit. I was glad to see him bust one off deep down the right side, though. That is the kind of thing they want him to be. We need somebody who can beat man coverage, and Golden is showing that he can use his speed to get open. It just hadn't been put together. It hadn't become a long completion until yesterday.
Yeah. I think there's 6 to 8 teams that have already been eliminated from the playoffs. I've already crossed them off. I don't think they're going anywhere. Obviously, New Orleans is horrible this year, and everybody kind of saw that coming. It's a rare time where the experts said, you know what, they're not going to be any good. And they aren't. The Saints are not good right now. The Falcons, even though they beat the Vikings last week, they don't look good. I know the Bears got a nice win over the Cowboys last night, but the Cowboys are not very good. The Giants are not going to make the playoffs. The Cowboys are not going to be a playoff team. And you look at teams like Tennessee is 0-3 and Houston is 0-3. They're probably better than 0-3. And you've got Miami at 0-3. They're probably going to fire their coach. You got the Jets at 0-3. You got 7 or 8 teams that you can probably put a pretty high percentage chance on it that they're not going to be there.
I believe in the Jets more than anybody else on that list, though. If you want to pick a dark horse, if only because Aaron Glenn is the best dancing head coach that I've ever seen. I love it. There was a moment in a comment forum yesterday, specifically from the highlight of Glenn dancing on the field goal block touchdown, and it says, "This is going to hurt if we lose." Well, guess what, buddy? You're the Jets, and you did. Man, those Buccaneers, though. Let's just keep pulling out come from behinds. That's 3 comeback wins in a row, I think, this season.
Yeah, and the Rams were up 26-7 on the Eagles yesterday. The Eagles came back and won that game thanks to a blocked kick. It was the day of the blocks yesterday. There was a lot of block stuff going on, that big determining factors. You got Cincinnati, who's 2-1, but without Joe Burrow, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're going to be out. They're going to be probably 3-7. That is a horrible defensive team, and they need Joe Burrow to sling it. And Browning, or whoever that was that played yesterday, he's not the guy. That's not going to happen. So an interesting day in the NFL again yesterday. Packer fans, you're not going to win all 17. You kind of don't want to win all 17, right? I mean, you want to, but you don't want to.
No, not necessarily. That puts pressure on you. People start talking about Marino, and it's like, no, stop. Because it's this thing that you don't need. And Xavier McKinney said it last week, with more swearing than I will include at the moment. A lot of teams started out 2-0 and didn't amount to anything. So that's not what's going to happen here. I think we're going to right the ship next week against Dallas. I think that looks like a sweet opportunity.
That's a good opportunity to get the offense going. It is a bit of a desperation game already for the Cowboys at 1-2. You start 1-3, you're in a lot of trouble. I think the Cowboys will show up on that, but yeah, I'm liking the Packers' chances of probably getting the offense feeling a little confident maybe after that game.
I'm hearing Frankie Valli. Instead of Sherry, he's singing Jerry. Jerry, going down baby, to Jerry World.
Jerry.
I watched that Jerry, the gambler baby, and his Cowboys thing, and it's really framed to make you like Jerry, and I thought, you know what that really makes me like? The idea of whooping Jerry. Let's go down there and show him who's boss. Like, I love inherited the stadium from Aaron when he left.
How about the NFC West? San Francisco 3-0, Arizona, Seattle, and the Rams all 2-1.
They were so actually that was funny. There were 3 undefeated teams from that conference going into the week, and only the 49ers come out unscathed. The Seahawks come up smelling like roses, basically, because they were the only team with a loss in that conference until yesterday.
We'll get a pretty good chance tonight to see what the Lions got. If the Lions go into Baltimore, look good, give them a good game, even if they lose, I think they're going to be all right. If they go in and get their butts handed to them, it might be like,
You know, what I can guarantee? The Lions have a safety and a kicker who together compose the last 2 players from your and my fantasy matchup this weekend. How's that going, Joel? Tell the people. Tell them.
So I come walking in the door this morning, and I knew it was coming because of what happened yesterday. Gray being a Packer fan and me being a Viking fan, I knew the first sentence of conversation was going to be something referring directly or indirectly to our fantasy matchup.
Yeah.
Which you're winning and you will win, probably.
Oh, totally. Unless Brian Branch breaks every record ever set in a single game.
Yeah.
You've got the safety, I've got the kicker, but I've also got, a 30-point lead. So
Gray was also nice enough to message me just moments before the game started that I didn't have a defensive tackle in my starting lineup. So he's a good sport. He rubs it in afterwards, but he's a good sport before the contest. So
if you're going to tell the story, tell the whole story. That's the second time I helped you out on that.
Yeah.
Because earlier last week, you had a guy set at defensive end who was out. You had Alex Highsmith, great defensive end over there in Pittsburgh, but they called him out for yesterday's game on Tuesday. So I think it was like Thursday morning. I messaged you. I was like, hey, Alex Highsmith is out. And Joel's just like, thanks. So he adds Micah Parsons to his team, who got you 0.0 points. Haha. I wish he did better, but I'm glad he hurt you. And then yesterday, 5 minutes before the game, I was like, wait a minute, you fixed the defensive end issue, but now you have nobody in at defensive tackle at all. Just empty hole.
It's just proof that even great coaching doesn't lead to victories. I'm 0-3. I'm 0-3 with all that
said. Do we even have enough time to unpack that, or do we need to go to commercial break right now, Joel?
We need to leave that alone. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk some other stuff, not football. It's 8:31. We have our Twice an Hour news and sports update.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's continued to pressure Attorney General Pam Bondi to bring criminal charges against his political opponents. ABC's Rachel Scott says he's already made changes within the Justice Department.
President Trump just days ago forced out a top federal prosecutor whose office did not find any evidence to back up allegations that New York Attorney General Letitia James committed mortgage fraud after months of investigating.
President's going to nominate his former defense attorney, Lindsay Halligan, as U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. She has no experience as a prosecutor. The Washington Post reports the president's going to announce a link today between Tylenol use during pregnancy and autism. Tylenol's manufacturer says science shows this is not true. The U.K. among the countries to announce recognition of a Palestinian state. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calls this an absurd award for terrorism, expected to be a major topic at the U.N. General Assembly, which begins today. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has been working for you in Ashland County. An improvement project on Wisconsin Highway 169 is nearing completion to improve safety. Crews are replacing the pavement from Highway 13 in Mellon to the Iron County line. Other improvements include Bad River Bridge deck replacement, culvert replacement, guardrail work, and ditch repair. Crews have maintained access to Copper Falls State Park and the North Country National Scenic Trail during construction, and this project is scheduled for completion in early October. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation and the Ashland County Highway Department thank you very much for your patience and cooperation during this time of construction. Sunday, October 5th from 8 to noon, over at Goble South Fork Bar and Grill in Lugerville, there's a breakfast fundraiser for the Red Apple Center. This is $10 a plate, with 5 and under eating free. Breakfast will feature from scratch pancakes, French toast, sausage, hash browns, scrambled eggs, and homemade cinnamon rolls. There's also going to be raffles. Once again, this is taking place Sunday, October 5th from 8 to noon over at Goble South Fork in Lugerville. And just a reminder, that is on County Road F. People across Wisconsin are gathering showing support for immigrants. Lisa Hale reports on a recent rally in Northeast Wisconsin.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to break free. The Statue of Liberty is meaningless now and with this administration.
That's Father Joe Matern of Casa Esther Catholic Workhouse in Omro speaking to a group of about 50 people in South Park in Oshkosh Saturday morning. The No Hate, No Fear, Immigrants Are Welcome Here rally was sponsored by Indivisible Winnebago County, Wisconsin and Vocas de la Frontera. Deb Martin of Indivisible Winnebago said rallies like this one are essential in the current political climate.
We're finding that they have more fear. One of my friends said, we can't come. And I said, I understand that. I want you to just feel courage that there are those of us who care and that we're going to get together to see in what ways we can help.
Vosa de la Frontera's Hiram Rabadan of Fond du Lac shared some of what he and his fellow immigrants are facing.
They go back to your country and come back legally. The first minute I step out of the United States, it's not possible to come back. It brings a small window to become a legal resident, especially with the atmosphere right now.
Rabadan has been in the United States for nearly 2 decades and has been a legal resident for the past 2 years. Reverend Ellen Rasmussen of the Algoma Boulevard United Methodist Church in Oshkosh is using her voice because many who are immigrants are frightened to use theirs.
Instead of welcome, we see fear. Instead of dignity, we see raids, detentions, and families torn apart.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
The Packers losing Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A huge upset. The Packers losing to the Browns, 13-10. The turning point, Jordan Love throwing an interception late in the fourth quarter, allowing the Browns to tie up the game.
No, we're running a triple slant concept, and they're in man coverage. And, you know, I'm trying to work Wicks right there, number two. You know, the safety that was guarding Tucker, you know, fell off that, passed it off, and got in the window right there, and I didn't even see him.
Up next, they face the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night. Wisconsin lost 27-10. To Maryland. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell reacts to fans in the stands chanting "Fire Fickell."
They're passionate about what they do and what they want to see. And That's what you love about this place.
The Brewers play the Padres tonight in San Diego. They clinched the divisional title again, but had to place Brandon Woodruff on the 15-day IL with a lat strain.
Played catch on Friday. Felt like it was normal stuff. Yesterday, tried to throw a pen, and something felt a little different.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Shawamigan Home Furnishings has a full showroom with a wide variety of furniture ready to go out the door. Mattresses with two-sided options are available. Over 50 recliners to choose from. Futons, sectionals, sofas, love seats, Amish and up north style furniture, as well as full bedroom and dining sets. Everything is in stock and available without delay. Go to their website, ShawamiganHomeFurnishings.com. Check them out on Facebook, too, for more specials. Shawamigan Home Furnishings, downtown Park Falls and Main Street. Ashland, Wisconsin.
Attention deer hunters. Bader Sports Center in Phillips is your go-to shop for everything you need to bring that buck in this fall. They've got products from Wildlife Research that will help eliminate human scent from your clothing and your equipment, including laundry detergents, dryer sheets, soaps, deodorants, shampoos, and even field wipes. Get that big buck in just a little closer with lures and scents from Black Widow, Hodag Lures, and Wildlife Research. A successful hunt begins with a stop at Bader Sports Center on Lake Avenue in Phillips.
You sit out when others head out. You find yourself saying, not today, when you really wish you could say yes. Make a change. Marshfield Clinic Orthopedics and Sports Medicine can guide you through a full scope of orthopedic care. Call us today.
Morning, Zoe. Got donuts.
Jeff Bridges, why are you still living above our garage?
Well, I dig the mattress, and I want to be in a T-Mobile commercial like you. Teach me, Soldana.
Oh, no. I'm not really prepared. I couldn't possibly.
At T-Mobile, get the new iPhone 17 Pro on them. It's designed to be the most powerful iPhone yet and has the ultimate pro camera system.
Wow, impressive. Let me try. T-Mobile is the best place to get iPhone 17 Pro because they've got the best network.
Nice, Jeffrey.
You heard them. T-Mobile is the best place to get the new iPhone 17 Pro on us with eligible trade-in in any condition.
So, what are we having for lunch?
Dude, my work here is done.
With 24-monthly bill credits on Experience Beyond for well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel finance agreement. iPhone 17 Pro, 256 gigs, $1,099.99 and new line minimum $100 plus a month plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
The green and gold, tailgating the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible through mid-morning. Otherwise, more clouds than sun with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible in the afternoon. Highs right around 70. For tonight, patchy fog developing again. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 50s. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
So Publishers Clearinghouse went bankrupt over the weekend. You see that?
Oh, no.
Ed McMahon. Again? Ed McMahon, who gave away all those forever prizes back in the 70s and 80s. He's lying to us.
Well, yeah.
All those lifetime payments are now done.
Yep.
Publishers Clearinghouse went bankrupt. So sad. I think the NFL is plotting against kickers. I came to this realization when I was watching the kickoffs in the NFL, as I was vegging out on my sofa on Sunday, the kickoffs now, if you notice, the kickers are standing all by themselves, and then the all their coverage team is like, what, 30 yards up?
They're kicking off an island.
So name me at one point during any part of an NFL game where the kicker is congregating with anyone, all right? They're just like, this is another ploy by the NFL to isolate the kicker. It's just like the only time the kicker ever got to like feel a part of a team is when they kicked off. You know, everybody was there. Hey, how you doing? I pat you on the shoulder. All right, let's kick off. You guys go 3 miles that way, and then I'll stand over here and kick it over your head.
Let's be real, though. Did a kicker feel like they were a part of that massive rush of bodies that was flying by at full speed? Or was it more like that scene from Jurassic Park where all the gallimimus start sprinting past and we got to duck behind a log because, holy crap, this is not where we should be right now with my little body. Like,
there's not too many kickers that are sticking their head into that flux of Tyrannosaur, whatever they were that came by them.
It's like Frogger from hell. Let's be real.
Yeah, but kickers are just you have to be mentally tough to be a kicker. Because, I mean, you're making decent change. You're making a million or two or whatever. Not crazy, but you're making some decent amount of money.
That's a charitable choice of description.
I mean,
tough.
Every time you walk into work, you know, unless you're really a storied kicker, every time you walk into work, you're a couple of misses away from people wanting you to be fired. Could you imagine if you went to your job every day? Well, I worked with DJ Rick, but if you imagine if you went to your job every day and you were one or two mistakes away from everybody in your office saying, maybe you shouldn't be here.
Yeah, well, Parker Romo, we're about to find out down there in Atlanta. I grabbed Parker Romo after his 5 field goal performance last week and was like, just in case this guy is good. Parker Romo, about to be available on the Civic Media Fantasy Network.
He gone.
Yeah.
How about the Viking kicker setting a Viking franchise record 62-yard field goal he hit, and it had 4 or 5 yards to go yet.
I'm going to be real. I don't know who's kicking for you.
Reichert is his name. Will Reichert.
Okay.
You could put him in a lineup of 10 people and put whoever you want in the lineup, and you would not pick him as an NFL kicker.
Well, kickers are different.
I was watching the Kevin O'Connell locker room victory thing that the teams do afterwards, and Will Reichert was standing there the entire time with a white t-shirt on. You could see him behind Kevin O'Connell the entire time. So the last thing that Kevin O'Connell did was he said, and this guy set a Viking record by kicking a 62-yard field goal. All he does is show up and Will Reichert, and he looks around like, Will, where are you? And he was standing right beside him with a white t-shirt on the entire time. He still didn't know who he was.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure he did, but still.
Yeah, you gotta. I wonder if it's a running joke, but no, that's to be a kicker or a backup quarterback. I dream.
Yeah, backup quarterback. It's the greatest gig in the world, isn't it?
Might be the best. Malik Willis was having a great day yesterday, and he will next week, too. He's immune to what happens unless Jordan Love goes down.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if you've noticed, but ESPN, if you watch ESPN at all, you see that they are infiltrating now the advertisements for WWE wrestling because ESPN bought basically the TV rights or whatever to WWE.
Yeah.
So you are now going to see, along with soccer, you're going to see an endless promotion of WWE because if ESPN buys the rights to it, they're going to promote the heck out of it.
That's one of the things I miss about childhood, Joel. Everything just seemed random. You know, you don't think about why am I seeing a dozen WWE commercials before Q1 is over from this Packers game.
That's true.
And now I'm just thinking, money, 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 politics, money.
Hats off to CBS, by the way. They paid tribute with a 50-year recognition of the original studio show for the NFL. Brent Musburger, Irv Cross, Phyllis George. There was a couple others in there, too, but those were the main ones. And the CBS, because the Vikings run CBS, I was watching their pregame, and they had the get-ups on. One guy was dressed like Irv Cross, and one was dressed, and Brent Musburger was there. He's in his 80s, I believe, still sharp as a whip, And that for anybody who's 50-plus, you remember the original NFL Today show, and it was part of the building process of the National Football League, and it was the The recreation and the tribute to it were wonderful, and CBS continued to do that throughout the day. They included retro clips in their broadcast throughout the day, so I thought it was very well done.
Musburger is 86 years old.
Yeah,
Whoa, there's a clip here that immediately comes up, and it's of somebody else. Wait, is that? Okay, it's of somebody I recognize as a sportscaster whose name I can't think of, but boy at the hair. It's from 1975. Yeah. We'll have to take a look at that later. It's funny what you get when you look at Brent Musburger. It's like, here's him when he's younger, and the guys next to him are, that's a big wool suit, bud. Whoa.
It's interesting to hear Brent Musburger talk about the beginning of the NFL's success and rise to power. He was on a podcast I was listening to a few weeks ago, was talking about the fact that in the 70s, he was heavily instructed by CBS management to avoid any reference to gambling, or you did not mention a Vegas line. You wouldn't do anything like that. But they knew that gambling was a part of the NFL, but there was a separation. There was a total separation. All the gambling happened in Vegas or through a bookie that you would call in Vegas, and they separated it. So they brought on this guy, Jimmy the Greek. I don't know if you've heard Jimmy the Greek, but he was a guy who would come on and he would very subtly tell you who's favored to win in the game. He wouldn't come on and say like they do now, the Packers are favored by 4.5 or whatever. He would have the board of check. He would have like 7 different categories, special teams, offense, defense, offensive line. Who was better? He would put a check mark over here for one, check mark at the other one. And then at the end, whoever had the most check marks, he was subtly telling you that's who you should call your bookie and bet on. That was the subtle reference there. And he, Brent Musburger, tells a story about they covered the NFC Championship game, and when it was over, he made an on-air reference of the fact that a certain team was now favored by this many points in Vegas, and he got reprimanded for it. He got called into the office and almost got fired for making that gambling reference on the air. Now we have the line running on the bottom of the screen when you're watching the football game.
This segment sponsored by Draft? No,
yeah.
I can't. I don't know if I can say that even as a joke. I'm not going to. But I think you know what I'm talking about. That sports ad. That sports book ad. What about this sports book ad?
Yeah.
It just...
It's not... The reason why the NFL is this popular is because it's a fun sport to watch, but the gambling aspect and the fantasy aspect of it are equally as contributing to the popularity of the sport.
Yeah, definitely. There's more money in sports than ever before since the gambling was legalized. Like, yeah, I have feelings. I have feelings.
In the state of Wisconsin, you can't technically gamble on a game. You can't gamble that the Packers will win a game, but you can go on to an app and you can bet that Jordan Love will pass for over 200 yards with the same amount of wagering.
Yeah.
The gambling is a huge part of football, and one that football just subtly mentions because the places you won't talk about are paying them millions of dollars to
do that. So much money, so much, and yeah, I know, consenting adults and all, but let's start making laws based on what people do instead of what people should do, and maybe we can actually end up there. Not just try to, it feels like a square peg round hole situation. I appreciate the effort behind these things, but at the end of the day, it's the money that's really driving the decisions, and that's just not the world I want to live in. That just starts it's like the beginning of the Lorax. It's like, all right,
yeah,
I'm driving outside the wall. I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna plant a field somewhere, and you're never gonna see me again.
With all that said about pregame shows in the NFL today, I really think it's time for Terry Bradshaw to hang it up, and some people might think it's time for me to hang it up too, but I think it's time for Terry Bradshaw. He's not very good at doing the highlights anymore. It just becomes a thing of just like, okay, Terry's doing them, so I guess we'll just put up with whatever he's saying or whatever. He's not very good at it right now.
No, that actually was something I saw unexpectedly from that Cowboys special, was that they showed the rift between Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy starting out that pregame show with Bradshaw and with Howie Long and with, I think there was somebody else there at the time, but that was something I got to see a little bit of Bradshaw, pretty fresh out of the league, although he's just as bald as ever. He's sitting there looking young and giving these really sharp criticisms of team performances and stuff. I was like, man, I've never seen that Terry Bradshaw. And yeah, I get it. Things happen as you age, but like, yeah, well, who were we just talking about at 86 who's a lot sharper? The former The former commentator, Brent Musburger.
Brent Musburger, yeah.
Maybe a better example of what might happen, the greats through time.
Yeah, and I watched some of those classic clips, and I don't know if Irv Cross is still with us anymore, but Irv Cross, after he retired from broadcasting, he went to be the athletic director of Gustavus Adolphus in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. He had a connection there, and he happened to be the athletic director there when I worked in the Twin Cities for a couple of years for KFAN, and I actually got to work with him on about three different games.
Wow.
There was one point where everybody has those moments in life where you meet someone or you do something and it sticks out in your mind. I remember very clearly walking across the stadium of the Metrodome in Minneapolis, Irv Cross by my side. He was to my right, and I could look over. I can kind of see a hologram of him right now.
That's Irv Cross.
I was walking and talking with him, and in my mind, I kept saying to myself, I am having a conversation right now with Irv Cross, legendary NFL Today host, and we were setting up a guest for our talk show for the next day or something like that. So I walked with him into the locker room, chumming it up with Irv Cross, and that's my flash with fame. I still remember that very well. So
I'm afraid Irv passed in 2021.
Oh, he did. Okay.
He was 81 years old, and Irv remains and will always remain the first black sports analyst on national TV.
Yeah, he was.
Period.
Just a nice guy. Just a genuinely nice man.
Smiling. Every picture, he's got a nice big smile on, and it's just, you can tell that it's, there's no, you can, I mean, there's a lot of really beautiful forced smiles out there.
Yeah.
Irv's got this one. I don't think he could hold it back if he tried. That's real.
I remember walking across there, and him, and we were having a discussion about who we were going to get for the guests for our Monday night show on our radio station, and I remember him saying to me, he said, well, I know Jerry Ball. I have a relationship with him, so I think he might do it. So he went up there. We offered him $500 to be on the show. I got his cell number, and he was in. That was it. All because of Irv Cross. And I got to see Jerry Ball's belly. He had no shirt on. That was just a joy.
That's a lot of guy right there.
Jerry Ball was, he was a lot going on in the buffet section there, yes.
No, that's, as they say, he's not fat. There's just a lot of them.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big dude.
Do you remember him?
He played
with the Lions,
and then
he came to the Vikings for a while.
He's just outside my era. It looks like he retired the year that I turned five. So we got a timing problem.
He was one of those guys who had a large belly but skinny legs, and he could move. He was kind of like, who was the Packer guy who was like that?
There was BJ Raji.
Big gut, and you're like, well, he can't move, but then the skinny legs, and there they go. They're sprinting down the field really fast.
No, Raji had like a 4.7, 4.8, 40 time. It's just a number you wouldn't believe.
Now, yeah.
You've got me Googling so many people so fast this last 15 minutes, my thumbs are going to fall off. It's a good problem. This is a good thing.
Well, the Brewers have clinched their division for the third year in a row. Brandon Woodruff is out, it looks like, for probably the playoffs, but they're in. The Brewers are in, trying to clinch the best record in baseball. All the Brewer games from here on in, including the playoffs, will be right here, of course, on 98Q Country. Also made a discovery over the weekend. A lot of times when you pull up to a restaurant, and you see the cars are all over the place, it's packed. The first thing you'll think of is, oh boy, we're going to have to wait. You know, this place is busy. How long is it going to be till we get our food? You have that conversation, you know, should we go somewhere else? All that stuff goes on. But there's one type of eating establishment that when you pull up to it, you're happy to see a lot of cars in there. And that is any buffet, if it's a buffet. Because then you know, when you walk into the restaurant, the food that's in the hopper is what?
Fresh.
It's fresh. If you go in there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and there's two people in there, you're getting the stuff from 12:30 that's still left over. It's still okay, but it's not great. Ooh, I experienced that when I took last Thursday off. Whew, we hit it at a busy time. It was some good stuff coming right out of the hopper. So you want a packed parking lot at a buffet, folks. You want things happening in there.
Oh man, I worked one of my first big boy jobs. I was a waiter at the sit down a Pizza Hut in Managua, and that's since left of its own accord. It decided to burn itself down randomly. Boy, did that sound suspicious. Now I'm never, I already don't live that down. People reference it all the time.
And we hope everyone's okay and no one got hurt.
Yeah, it was empty. It was okay, it happened good. During the nighttime. There was a random electrical fire apparently at one of the fridges malfunctioned. But anyway, we were allowed to eat any pizza that came off the buffet if it aged out. So by default, it was stale when it came off. And the other thing that you're allowed is as much salad bar as you want. So what I'm telling you is I ate a lot of salad when I worked at Pizza Hut, but I definitely dipped in. You know, like a pan pizza, that lives a little longer because it's thicker and it doesn't dehydrate quite as badly. But yeah, that was, oh, I miss it. We almost had one of the last three sit-down Pizza Huts left. Not that they would have left it around, but they decided not to rebuild. I'm still sad about that.
When you go to a big city and you see a pizza buffet, does that light up my... it lights up my eyes when I see a pizza buffet.
Pizza Ranch. I'm going to go abuse an ice cream machine and get some pizza too. Like, Pizza Ranch, I'm coming for you.
It's not going to be a good follow-up afterwards, but the experience is terrific.
Worth the cost, Joel.
I've already eaten seven pieces, so what's an eighth one possibly going to do to me? Let's go, baby.
We gotta leave room for three trips to the ice cream machine. How many cups per trip? That's the question.
Yeah, are you going to have dessert? No. 3 minutes later, I think, oh gosh, I'll try it.
A lot of dessert. A lot. We'll try not to dessert a lot. Yeah,
yeah. Have a great week, Gray.
You too, Joel. Thanks.
Congrats on your fantasy win, by the way.
Well, it lasts.
8:57 here in 98Q Country.
This is Riley.